Hallo en welkom to de Avond Vol Aandacht podcast. My name is Marije Oostindie and I am a tantra teacher, artist and host of this podcast, in which I want to share with you my great love for the practice of tantra in daily life and in our love relationships in particular. Usually this podcast is in Dutch, as you may hear from my accent. And this is the third, and for the time being, last of my English-spoken miniseries. As I'd also like to give non-Dutch speakers the opportunity to get to know us a bit better. Because we receive so many of you in our private Tantra workshops for couples. Mainly with our hosts in Amsterdam and Utrecht. This episode is all about the art of giving and receiving, which is a big topic in love relationships. At the end of this episode, I'd like to give you something. It's a breath meditation in which you bring your attention to how you, by simply existing, continually give and receive. Now, I usually listen to my favorite podcasts when I'm on my bike, cycling through Amsterdam, which is, of course, a very Dutch thing to do. However you may travel, if you listen to this podcast on the road or in the train, that's fine for roughly the first half hour of this episode. But the breath meditation in the last 20 minutes or so requires you to be able to lie down horizontally on your couch or in bed. So I'll give you a sign when to stop the podcast and maybe listen to the last part of it later. At the time I create this episode, it's midwinter. And I realize how appropriate it is to talk about the art of giving and receiving, especially at this time of the year. We go slower, take more time, slow down, and sometimes perhaps come to a complete standstill. To be together, to share time and stories and do things together with our loved ones. And maybe also to spend some time alone, which always works very well for me. For me, being alone recharges me and gives me space to emerge fresh again in the spring later with new energy. To really take this time to rest and digest, to go within, to hang out with myself or with friends, that is a true gift to myself. It felt very fitting that my very first introduction to Tantra was with Christmas in 2007, quite a while ago. It was a week-long retreat, and we were together with 30 or so other fellow travelers. It was with Carla Remmelt of the renowned Centrum for Tantra, where you can find the very best Tantra teachers of Europe, though we teach only in Dutch there for the time being. It's quite a while ago, but I remember it very vividly. It was dark outside and cold, and it was even snowing, and I'm afraid that was kind of the last time it ever snowed in Holland. But we were warm inside all week long, in soft light, candles everywhere. And we also brought our attention inward, to that magical, wonderful world of experiences that suddenly lay there at my feet. Wow. In addition to the overwhelming amount of new insights and experiences that I gained that week, I was also very impressed by the power of being together with the others in my group. If you can do inner work together with other people, man, what a bonding effect that can have. When people come together, there's always so much exchange immediately. Exchange of knowledge, news and facts, exchange of experiences. Exchange of tangible gifts sometimes too, which are given and received, and I will come back to that later. And as individuals from a group, relax more and more. When they stop working hard, there's also more and more exchange of presence and awareness of simply being together. Not for someone, but with someone. I think one of the greatest gifts that you can give someone is your attentive, open presence. Nothing you have to do to give or to solve for the other person. Just be. Especially when we are together with our love partners, this just being can sometimes be quite a challenge, Because many of us have learned from our parents that relaxing is not a good thing. We had to work hard. You had to make yourself useful. Now, this is a very Dutch attitude to life, but I think in many countries we have a preference for hard-working people. We don't want to be lazy. And if you have learned to work hard in your youth, it's sometimes not very obvious how to simply relax in later life. Even when you're hanging out with your partner and nothing needs to be done, no deadlines to meet, it can be very challenging to simply be and don't do anything. To allow yourself to be open and present without having to do anything for the other person, without having to constantly give something to the other. We tend to work hard in the company of others, especially when they're important to us. We work hard, for example, by making ourselves a bit smaller or bigger, by saying, "I'm going to take care of you," or putting yourself aside, making yourself less important, just to be pleasant company for your partner. Sometimes in contact, we are mainly concerned with anticipating possible future problems or needs of the other person. If we're always busy predicting the future, we are no longer fully present in the moment. You can have your attention only in one place at a time. The bad thing about many of these strategies is that they are played out in silence. Often we only have a vague idea, an image, about what would be nice for a partner. We start realizing this idea before we have even checked if this is indeed what the other person wants from us. A lot of tension that we create in contact with others is based on assumptions. Assumptions we have made based on our past experiences. To give you an example, many parents don't know what to do when their child is in pain or is crying, or when a child is indecisive, for example, or angry. And now I'm a mother, I know when a child has such an experience, it sometimes is really difficult to be with. But if you, as a child, were not received or respected in those intense experiences that you simply had, that was really painful. If you had to go to your room because you were angry, you would feel very lonely there. As a kid, when you were in tears, what did you need? What you needed was a warm heart and arms around you. You needed mom or dad's soothing voice saying, "It's okay to cry, sweetie. Come here, let me hug you. All is well." Can you recall your parents giving this to you? Then you've been very lucky. Many of us heard something quite different. Parents telling them that, "Now you're fine again, dry up your tears." Or, "Are you crying again? Man up, don't be a sissy." Or, "Hey, look over there, what a beautiful flower." Or, "Here, have a nice candy." That sounds much nicer, but actually the message is the same. It says, "Don't cry, because I can't handle it." Why are many parents not capable of consoling their kids? It's because they don't trust the process of feeling and allowing pain and crying. And that's because their parents didn't trust them with it. And therefore they never truly experienced themselves the wonderful warm feeling you get after your tears have dried up naturally. If you haven't experienced the intelligence of such a feeling, you cannot allow it within yourself. And then you can also not allow it within another person. The message that such a parent gives to you are messages of rejection. You are not okay, simply as you are. And to avoid this pain of rejection, you may have discovered how you make yourself big and strong. You create a big and strong image of yourself, telling yourself, "I don't need anything." And to live up these images in your head, you have to create tension. And that includes tension in your body. To have to create this tension is actually very painful, because sadness, like Every other emotion is simply part of human existence. Crying is a wonderful, intelligent way of processing a painful experience. And if you're not allowed to experience this, you cannot feel completely whole anymore. You then have to hide away a part of yourself. But the pain of rejection by the ones that you love most, that is even more painful. By controlling and restricting yourself this way, you at least no longer have to feel that awful loneliness and rejection anymore. The images you create of yourself are for a big part based on the environment you grew up in. Some parents are very okay with crying, but for instance not with what they perceive as laziness or noise or simply a lot of energy. Some parents are very open to many forms of energy and emotions in you. But then when you cry in the classroom, it's immediately clear that your fellow students, your peers, are not so open to all these forms within you. We can create all kinds of self-images in this period of youth. I, for instance, thought, I have to do it all by myself. If I don't do it, it won't be done. This is a very strong image in a lot of people, and it refers to our society in which we cannot trust our peers to keep the part of their bargain. Many boys have the self-image, I never cry. Many girls get the self-image, I'm never angry. And maybe, listening to this, you can see something about the images you have about yourself. When you grow up, you have often become so accustomed to the self-images you're trying to live up to that you don't just simply put these down again. Not even when you're alone with your partner, the person you love and trust more than anybody in the world. But maybe your current partner would be totally okay being present with your tears, your anger, or your indecisiveness. In fact, he or she might even be happy to actually meet you in these emotional states. Because it's through emotions that we bond. Only by showing your emotions, your partner can really see you, get to know you, feel you. Without emotions, he or she would always bump against a wall of neutrality. Or against a strong big shield that says, I'm capable of everything, nothing hurts me, I'm okay. That shield blocks the exchange, the contact between you. It is a wonderful protector against the pain of rejection, the pain of exclusion or loneliness. Therefore, it is and has always been very valuable and important, necessary. It wouldn't have been there if there wasn't a very good reason for it. But this shield or wall, it also prevents you from real contact. It prevents you from giving yourself completely and receiving the other person completely. You cannot fully show yourself, and you cannot fully see the other person for who he or she is, really, in this moment. The shield keeps out the pain you fear, but it also keeps out the love, inspiration and support that others might give you. In Tantra, we don't want to take off or throw away this shield or this wall, but rather get to know it completely. How did it become what it is right now? Why was it so necessary? We try to be curious about everything that we experience, even when we feel disconnected. What exactly do I experience when I notice that I'm keeping the other person a little bit at a distance? What do I experience when I make myself bigger, more insensitive than I actually am? How do I know or notice that I'm withdrawing from contact? How does that feel in my body? We humans, we are so incredibly sensitive. We can even learn to feel it when we are no longer fully present. And we do often feel it very clearly when our partner is not completely present. Usually, if we are allowed to acknowledge this truth, the tension around our self-images can melt a little bit. And so the shield becomes a little softer. This way, more exchange, more giving and receiving can take place. Okay, fast forward. I think about 5 years after my very first Tantra retreat, our teachers had asked Jeroen and me to assist their 2-year Tantra training, which is actually a training for life. We had been assisting our teachers very intensively, and this was a big honor to us. Speaking of receiving gifts, I couldn't believe my luck. I was so thrilled that I was given this opportunity. I was allowed to develop myself under the broad wings of my beloved teachers. And for, I think, more than 5 years, we went everywhere where they went, learning along the way. And now it was my birthday, in the middle of one of the first weeks of this training. The staff had brought me all kinds of sweet gifts. And now these gifts were lying on our breakfast table, which could have been a moment of great joy. Oh, guys, how sweet of you that you thought of me. But instead, I felt myself cringe internally. Wow, did they go through all that trouble for me? I felt deeply overshadowed by everybody else in that room. They were all experienced trainers, and I felt very young and very inexperienced. As a result, I found it very difficult to accept their gifts. Luckily, my teacher recognized what I had gotten myself into. She saw me wincing and asked how I felt. It was a huge relief to answer honestly and to have some time to describe how I was seeing the table full of presents and how it made me feel not so good. How there suddenly seemed to be a distance between the world and something that had withdrawn very deep inside me. So, receiving, it sounds easy, because all you have to do is open your hands. But if, like me, you have a self-image that you don't need anything, or that you're not worth it, then receiving is actually quite complicated. That birthday in the staff room was the starting point for research into receiving, a topic that, at least in me, is quite linked to self-esteem. Am I worthy to receive this? That we need something, that we need each other, or even the fact that we are insanely dependent on each other. It's not a popular idea in our society. We don't like it. Our society promotes self-sufficiency. We all think we should be able to do it alone, but we are simply very dependent on each other. Especially little children, when they grow up, they wouldn't survive without parents for a long time. And our children, they do need a lot from us. They have endless needs and desires. A desire for touch, for reflection, to be seen, to be healthy, bounded to us. Oh, and cravings for ice cream, lots of ice cream. When you have a child like me, it can be quite a challenge to feel what you really have to give. When they are so small, they can't do a thing without you. You have to be present for your child all the time. You cannot stop giving for a moment. But even when you're the parent of a baby or a toddler, you don't have to give everything. It is sometimes very easy for young parents not to properly guard your space and boundaries. If you don't have any time for yourself every now and then, and you give, you can easily start to feel overwhelmed, or overworked, burned out. If you run out of space, giving becomes something you have to strain yourself for. You've worked all day, given everything there, and then when you come home, there's someone who wants attention from you, and you have to give again. There's no free flow anymore in this giving. It's full of tension. In our society, it's very normal not to respond too enthusiastically to all the desires of our children. In Holland, we even have a saying, children who ask are skipped. And that says a lot. It's a straightforward recommendation not to speak of your needs, not to reveal your desires. Unfortunately, parents are indeed not always very respectful to the desires of their children. Then sometimes we can say things like, "Are you whining for ice cream again? You already had one this afternoon." But the child only brings all that energy of his or her desires into contact with you. It's nothing but energy, pure zest for life. In Tantra, we believe it's very important to respond to desires with great respect. I'm honest with you, I also sometimes blunder with this. The things we heard our parents say to us when we were young still feel so normal. When space gets limited, I sometimes return to their ways. But what I really want to say when my son asks me for new Lego is something like, "Dear son, oh, that is indeed a beautiful Lego set. You won't receive that today, but you could ask it for your birthday. If by then you still want the set more than anything else, you will get it, so put it on your list." When I say this to him, I don't blame him for his desires, but I also don't fulfill them all the time. Sometimes you get a desire fulfilled, and sometimes you don't. We parents, we can support our children, also if it's difficult, if they don't get something. If your desires have not been treated respectfully, perhaps even ridiculed, it is an extremely painful thing for a small child. Your desires are an expression of your life energy, and your life energy is so close to who you are, so essential to you. It's also actually very innocent. It just wants to flow, discovering the world, experiencing pleasure, being met. And it's very vulnerable to show it. And it's vulnerable because it's incredibly painful when your desires are not recognized and respected. So painful that if that happens, you will then try to withdraw them. And we all succeed in this withdrawal. Then you simply no longer feel that you desire anything. Because if you did desire something, the pain of rejection might come again. And to prevent that, you start telling yourself that you don't need anything. "I don't need you. You don't have to give me anything. I can do it on my own." A participant to one of my trainings told me how she had developed the tactic of constantly giving, so she wouldn't have to receive. Somebody else told how her mother used to put everything aside for her family and her children, and how she feels the urge to do this too, now that she has a family. Receiving sounds easy, but it's really not, at least not for everyone. And if you recognize this, what really helped me was to be true to my experience and informing others about it. Wow, guys, I find it not so easy to actually receive all these presents. I feel a little quiet and small right now. In this way, the other people can see me, my vulnerability, and not just my invulnerable shield that says, "I don't need anything, I'll do it alone." The beautiful thing is that in this way you can receive a gift fully, and you give the other the opportunity to fully give. Giving can be very joyful, even ecstatic, when your gift is truly received. To receive something fully, that requires that you continue to feel yourself while you receive. That you stay here, in your body, present. Because only there you can feel what you experience when somebody gives you something. There you feel what your response is to what is given to you. If you know how to listen, you will notice that every moment of the day, you experience all kinds of physical sensations in your body. Together, they tell you about your response to the events in your life. Happiness, sadness, frustration, empathy, emptiness. It can all be felt within your body, nowhere else. To allow this, to welcome your feelings and everything else you experience, this is something we practice a lot in Tantra. we continually bring our attention to that wonderful layer of experience in our body, just beneath the surface of your thoughts. Let's do a little experiment. Can you receive what your body is saying to you right now? The signals she sends to you to tell you how you are. What are you experiencing in this very moment? So just take a few moments to check in with yourself. What part of your body are you most clearly aware of right now? Is it your head or your belly? Maybe your chest? And what do you feel in that part? Is it open and spacious? Or rather compact? Or full of energy? You need space to receive and give. Giving is a beautiful thing, and we humans do it all day long. If you give from space, from free flow, you not only give energy, you also get energy in return. Giving is then very fulfilling. It's wonderful to be able to give generous. If you give from space, you give from abundance, not from lack, to get something in return. That abundant flow is something that is very natural within you, within everybody, especially when you're around the people that you love. Sometimes you have no choice but to give. Everything in you wants to give and to shower them with your presence. You want to give your child a hug, your lover a kiss. You want to cook them a great meal. Share your heart with them. Take them on an adventure. Give them some space. You pour out to them with all your heart. But you can't only give. Then you exhaust yourself and all your space will disappear. In order to continue to experience space, you need to set and respect your boundaries. You can feel these also within your body. All the signals that tell you in great detail when it has been enough. When you've given too much, maybe, in a certain situation. Then you will often start to feel constricting sensations in your body. Maybe your stomach becomes tense. Or you're experiencing a tight feeling in your chest. What we've usually learned is to ignore these signals, so we can keep on giving. We then may exhaust ourselves, but we are safe. The other people love us. Sometimes we create security for ourselves by constantly giving, by being accommodating, solving everything, not asking too much, not making things too difficult for the other. Then we give someone who has just made a nasty comment our brightest smile instead of our true, much more vulnerable response. I'm shocked by what you said. In order to stay together, we are sometimes willing to move away from ourselves. Giving to keep your partner with you. Giving to be indispensable to your family. Giving because you're afraid that the other person might walk away if you don't do it. These forms of giving cost you energy. If they only love you for what you do for them, not for who you are, why stay? If they love you, not for what you do, but for who you are, then why work so hard? It is sometimes hard to believe how much more others can love us and see our beauty and worth so much more than we can ourselves. Jeroen sometimes says to me things like, I don't need an exquisite meal every day. I just want to be in contact with you. I'm curious about how you are. Usually at such a moment, I'm stressing myself out again. Now, if your partner dares to say something like that to you, please pay attention. Here's another chance to discover how valuable you are just by being there, because of who you are. Nothing else. So, order a pizza, put your legs on the couch and enjoy being together. Yes, it can feel very uncomfortable and sometimes outright anxious not to give in to the tendency to neglect the signals of your body. But ultimately, it's more sustainable to listen to your boundaries and take good care of your own space. Before we start the breathing meditation in a moment, I want to share two recent experiences about giving and receiving. The first took place in one of our trainings. When, together with my two assistants, I gave a demonstration of a touch exercise that also involves breathing a little bit deeper. We use a lot of breath techniques in Tantra, because if we allow more oxygen in our body, our thoughts become less dominant, and then we can often feel more in our body. This helps us to experience more of our free flow. When there is more flow within us, we become more alive and we can better sense what we desire. In other words, what we would like to receive. We can also feel better about what we truly have to give. It just comes much more naturally because you experience it directly in your body instead of just thinking about it. In this particular exercise that we did in this training, one of the assistants laid down. She had the receiving role. And we, the other two, sat at her head and her feet. And we touched her there very lightly, very simple, without doing anything. We did not massage. In fact, we were mainly present in the touch while she was focusing on her breath. Really very simple. But the assistant between us, she was quite experienced in this breathing technique. By practicing this for years, she had discovered how to surrender herself more and more to it. That is what ultimate reception asks of you. To surrender to whatever comes. To what is given to you. And this surrendering actually was quite ecstatic for her. And that was visible, audible and palpable in the room. It wasn't until we got some response from the group that I realized how I had become accustomed to this possibility of ecstasy, of letting go and staying present at the same time. A number of women in the group, it was a training for women, it turned out not to have been that easy to watch our demonstration and to be able to stay in touch with their bodies. They revealed very honestly and respectfully that somewhere they had the vision. This looks wonderful. This should be possible. Or even, I want this too. But instead they felt discomfort and even shame in their body. They could not imagine that they would be able to receive something like that. Fortunately, some of them turned out to be very good at surprising themselves. Breath really is a powerful key. Perhaps you too will experience more space in the coming breathing meditation. Space to receive, space to give. By the way, in this particular exercise that we did in the training, you can experience ecstasy in every role, also as the person who touches, when you're officially in the giving role. If you simply relax when you touch and you let yourself breathe a little deeper, touching can sometimes become something really effortless. If you sit comfortably in your own center without leaning over and with the right proximity, and you let your breathing be deep and slow, then sometimes you automatically get in tune with your body. And suddenly you feel exactly where your hands should be on this other body. And that if your hand is indeed fully received there, you feel the skin under your hands soften. Or you feel the person under your hands breathe, a sigh of relaxation. Sometimes, in this relaxation, a lot of energy starts to flush through you, and that can feel really ecstatic. And so, the dividing line between giving and receiving becomes very blurry. Because the one who gives also receives a lot. The other experience I want to share with you is from my private life. Saturday evening is our date night. And Jeroen and I, we often then do a tantric breathing technique so that we can let ourselves loosen up, get into our own free flow, and then meet each other right in that flow. Recently, our son was staying over at grandma and Jeroen and I had a whole Saturday off. Oh, and it was such a wonderful luxury. And before our date night, I first took a half an hour for myself, which I spent walking outside in nature. When I returned, I felt wonderfully refreshed. Our bed was in the living room, converted to a nice fluffy nest with all kinds of pillows, and there were candles burning everywhere. And Jeroen stood in the doorway, almost overflowing with so much to give. He invited me to warm up in the shower and then lie in his arms. I fully accepted this invitation, and we had a really wonderful, juicy date night, of which I'm not going to tell you the details. Jeroen fully invited me, and I fully accepted his invitation. And that was possible because he really had space for it, and so did I, because I took care of it myself by going for a walk in the crispy December cold. It was wonderful for him that this space allowed me to say yes to him completely. Yet I feel far from just the recipient here. I was only able to say yes to his invitation because I took care of my space. I completely added myself, my needs, my desires, my boundaries to the game of our being together. I actively add my flavor to the spice of our relationship. For this, I need to be present, awake. That is also what it means to really give something. Because to maintain this awake presence within a relationship, that's sometimes challenging. Being alone, there's not so much energy to experience. It's relatively calm, and that's wonderful sometimes. But humans do love energy. And when you're in contact with someone, especially with one you love, your energy will start to flow much faster. If I stay centered within myself, I'm in contact with my feelings, physical sensations, thoughts, and I can simply rest there and open up to my experience. I can give by relaxing myself, being open to the encounter, staying curious. Then I can experience deep surrender and letting go in our being together. Oh, it's such a wonderful thing when that happens in lovemaking, as if I don't do it, as if something bigger takes me along, like plunging into a river and allow myself to flow along for as long as I like. Actually, such lovemaking is a great energetic exchange of giving and receiving. It might sometimes be easier to give in to this ecstatic feelings when you're either in the role of giver or in the role of perceiver. You might want to play with that sometime during your lovemaking. To me, it's clear that I'm teaching something that I will continue to heal in, possibly for the rest of my life. Over the years, I've learned to create much more space within me for fully giving and receiving. And when I succeed in this, this increases my zest for life enormously. All right, my wonderful listeners. For the breathing exercise that will begin in about a minute, it's necessary that you can lie down comfortably, so you can let go completely. This is not a good idea in the car or on your bike. So if you are, you can pause this episode right now and come back to it later. Spotify will remember this moment for you. Now, this practice is for you, alone, with yourself. If you want to do something together with your beloved, then you can download my free partner meditation, Fuel for Your Relationship. It's available for free on my website, and I will put the link in the show notes. But for this exercise, first make sure that the oxygen you're going to breathe feels fresh and clean. So maybe you need to open or close a window. And you're going to lay down on your back as comfortably as you can, in bed or on the couch. And make sure you have a blanket nearby or over you if you might get cold. Put one or two pillows under your knees, if that feels good to you. And if you have a pillow under your head, make sure it's a thin one, so you have space and freedom of movement in your neck. Then place your arms and hands somewhere where they can really relax. Maybe on a mattress or on the sofa. Maybe somewhere on your body. Now, if you're at this moment not 100% comfortable, please pause this episode and make sure that you are. Because when you enter more into your bodily awareness, you want it to feel good, right? I wish you a wonderful breathing session. Welcome to the flow of giving and receiving. We start this meditation by giving your awareness some time to become present in your body. In particular, in those parts of your body where you are in contact with the surface you're lying on, your couch or your mattress. Now feel how your heels are pressing into this surface a bit. And then under your ankles, there is this small space. Your calves touching again. This way you move your attention further along the back of your body, all the way up towards the back of your head. Constantly feeling where your body is and is not in contact with the ground beneath you. Resting there. In all these places where you feel you're being carried. Safe. And heavy. Comfortable. Feel how your body surrenders more and more into this contact with the ground beneath you. Using your exhale to drop a little bit more of your body weight. And if you are still tense somewhere, or you might find yourself pulling yourself up away from the ground, then you kindly invite yourself to relax a little more. And you can use your next exhalations to support this relaxation. And each time you exhale, it's like you allow a little bit more of your body weight to drop down in the earth below you. This way, you land more and more here at the place where you lie. Now, in a few moments, we will start breathing a bit deeper. And also, in and out through our mouth for a while. That can feel a bit awkward in the beginning. And we do this simply because your mouth is more spacious, so more oxygen can flow in and out. Oxygen that brings your awareness more into your body and less into your mind. Now, this way of breathing is most pleasant with relaxed jaws. So if there's tension in your jaws, in your cheeks, your lips, you may be able to relax a bit by, for example, making funny faces, sticking out your tongue. Or massaging your jaws a bit. Or by yawning. And then from now on, you breathe in and out through your mouth. Take some time to feel this. Breathing in your own pace, not slower or faster than really feels good to you. You feel how the relatively cool air flows in, past your lips, into your mouth. And if your mouth may become dry, you may always lick your lips or take a sip of water or swallow, whatever feels good to you. Relax into your natural rhythm. Now bring your attention to the movement of your breath. Where can you feel your breath moving in your body? Imagine that the first impulse to breathe comes from your belly. Your belly is filled up with air first, rising up freely. Then also your diaphragm and your breasts are moving upwards. And every time you breathe in this deep, you give yourself a lot of fresh new oxygen. And this is like food for your body. If you breathe in more oxygen, your energy may start to flow more intense, making you feel more awake and alive. That's a gift to yourself. And now you're going to make it a bit fuller, this gift, by imagining that you're breathing in through a straw. Your lips then gently purse around that straw on your inhale, and you then hear the sound of the wind. And when you exhale, your lips relax, and very naturally you deflate. This way of breathing is also called a wind breath. When you hear the sound of the wind breathing in, that's enough. Slowly finding your own pace, without forcing yourself. Simply relaxing. Constantly the sound of the wind on your inhalation. And perhaps you notice how each time you take a deep breath this way, you become just a little bit more alive and awake. A little bit more present, here. Now that you inhale more deeply, your exhalation also automatically becomes fuller. Each time you breathe out deeply, you let go. Giving back what no longer serves you. With every exhalation, you let go and give away. And also the rest of your body lets go and relaxes. Perhaps you feel yourself becoming a little heavier, landing here in this place where you are. So now with each breathing cycle you become more and more relaxed. And at the same time, more awake. More present. Now place one hand on your belly to feel the movement of your breath there. And allow your hands to rise with your inhale. Does anything change in your breath when you do this? Now you gently place your other hand on your chest. Simply feeling the movement under your hands. Imagine that the area under your hands is like a large balloon. Constantly inflating and deflating. And now that you've been breathing a little bit deeper than normal for a while already, you may notice that your head becomes a little lighter. And that's okay. It's completely safe to let yourself get a little bit light and loose up there. Maybe you'll also start to feel very simple. A simple breathing creature. If you experience something like this simplicity, bring all your awareness there and be curious about it. Most of the time, life is so complex. Enjoy the simplicity. The simplicity of simply breathing. And if there are thoughts, don't fight them. Simply allow yourself to breathe a bit deeper and return your awareness to the movement of your breath in your body. And taking your time to breathe like this, you may become quite sensitive to yourself. To whatever you experience in this moment. now that there is more oxygen circulating your body. Maybe you will experience a little more energy, some tingling or a feeling of flow somewhere in your body. And if it gets a bit intense for you, just move your body a bit. Make some sounds. And you can always start to breathe through your nose again, and then these effects will disappear really fast. But maybe it feels good to you, that sense of flow and tingling, the simplicity you might experience. And then please enjoy it. Don't suppress this. Every breath again, fresher and more awake, more here. And with every exhalation, more relaxation, more letting go. More now. And then somewhere in the next few minutes, you give yourself plenty of time to slowly relax your breathing again. You don't need to stop anything. You simply relax. Maybe your body wants to find a different posture that will allow you to let go and relax even more. And then there's nothing that needs to be done anymore. Simply allow your awareness to go deeply inside, giving space to everything you notice. Sensations in your body, thoughts, feelings, maybe a tingling somewhere. Now, this is the end of this practice. Maybe you want to stay a little bit longer in bed or on the couch. So I'm going to leave you here, and the music will go on for another 5 minutes or so. I hope this was a pleasant experience for you. Thank you.